The Back Page, brought to you by Mirror Sport and backed by Ladbrokes.
Hello, we're back again with a serious bunch of troglodytes this week. Coming in first is Shane Mahon from Ladbrokes. How are you doing, Shane?
Speak for yourself there, Shane.
Come on.
Not too bad.
Bernard Flynn, how are you doing?
Great to see this. Your eyes are different. There's one Shane's eyes a bit different than the other.
Mm, yeah. Two piss holes in the snow.
Shane.
Yeah, I had a heavy few week. Heavy all weekend.
Heavy few week.
Johnny Ward, you've had a heavy few weeks.
No, I did not have.
Heavy few years?
No.
You're looking well all the same.
36 now, very shortly, so yeah, getting on.
That'll be a celebration.
Well past my prime.
Yeah.
But I went down to see the sister of a player for Brendan's Intermediate Sibis Westport in Claremorris on Sunday. So they're playing Clontarf now next, so she's hopefully on the cusp of maybe getting to an All-Ireland final, which would be nice. She's captain as well, so.
Absolutely. Good speech?
I actually left. I had to get the train back, so I missed the speech. I forgot about that actually. Yeah, but she's 5'4", but she plays in midfield, and she's a good player now.
She's taller than you, so Johnny.
Yeah, but no, it was great to see.
And you didn't stay down for the night out.
I had to work actually, and to come back to Dublin, and I'd had a night out on the Saturday night. So it was
fair pledge. Yeah. I'm sure you had one or two.
We made a few bob for our listeners last week.
We did a few good bets. Yeah, there was you had Man United and Dundalk in a double paid around 7-2. Spurs at 6-5, and then Ireland -27
was comfortable enough.
Yeah, I think everyone went for that.
We have to make a few bob more this week for us.
We'll do our best. We'll start off with Man City against Man United. Sure, that's 4:30 on Sunday as well. I saw a stat, and I love a stat, that City have not lost any of their last 53 league matches against sides who start the day outside the top four.
They lost to Man United last season at home, though.
They did 3-2. Yeah.
Shane made an interesting point that Man United were 9-1. I saw that this morning. Now they're gone into 13-2. But I thought Man City were desperately short. I think Man United are probably a better betting proposition away from home, if that makes sense.
They're a huge price.
Yeah, they're going to be a bigger price. And hopefully Lukaku is out, because I think that actually helped them last night. I don't think Lukaku, and especially in games like this, is definitely a liability. Yeah.
Like
if Sanchez could actually play...
Yeah,
in accordance with his ability. They weren't brilliant against Juve, but to be fair, they do carry an attack and threat, and defensively they actually weren't that bad. And regardless of what you say of late, I was speaking Mourinho's obituary, but they have clawed themselves out of losing position several times in the last month or so, and things are looking up a bit. And I still think Man City, they're a better side, but they're very short.
Bernard, you're a Man United fan. Did you enjoy Mourinho kind of holding his hand up to his ear and making a Father Jack face?
It was just, I think you're splitting it. I think 50% of people detested it, and some people actually liked it. Listen, a leopard doesn't change his spots, end of story. But I just say with Johnny, I just thought there's a bit of fight. I mean, I did think it was wrong to leave Rashford off. I actually do. I thought he brought a bit of pace.
He should have scored when he came on as well.
But Martial, I thought in the last 10-15 minutes he showed a bit of heart and guts, and I just thought, going forward, I thought they were set up quite well. I have to say, I thought they were set up pretty well. Juventus, now, they don't allow that to happen too often. I think United will get a huge amount from it. Mourinho's antics afterwards, it's a side show, really. I listened to his interview as well.
Funniest thing about that was, afterwards, Graeme Souness in conversation with McCarthy. Afterwards. And Graeme Souness is one to talk about when he was manager
the flag
over
in the pole in Istanbul.
In a cup final. So, something like that, I think it... You know, there's too much going on in today's game, especially when you see it on the sideline now, managers and players, that, you know, it's almost gone the American football route of putting your hand over your mouth, so that nobody can pick up what you're talking about. I mean, leave it out. Come on. I mean, just liven up.
Pretty good what they did against Juventus. Obviously, Juventus hadn't conceded a goal in the Champions League in all competitions, I think. Or maybe that was at home. But they hadn't conceded more than a single goal in 13 matches. So... The only thing I'd say about United is their defence has been fairly poor in the league this season. They only kept a clean sheet once, and that was against Burnley on September the 2nd. So how are they going to keep City out?
With all due respect, I mean, up until the Mata free kick last night, it was, you know, we were lucky to still be 1-0 down. Juve had plenty of chances to put that game to bed well before that Mata free kick even materialised, I think. So nevertheless, they'll take the win, and you know they're odds on now, I think, to qualify ahead of Valencia in second place.
But how do United keep them out? City have only conceded 4 goals this year, but they're scoring machines.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, put what, 6 past Southampton last weekend. What was the final score in the game last night?
6.
Was
as
it
well?
6
yeah.
as well?
Yeah.
5 if you don't count Sterling's.
Yeah,
outrageous.
One of the tabloids today, like, actually wiped out the sixth goal and recorded it as 5-0 on the back page.
That turf came from nowhere and tripped him up.
Like,
it looked brutal.
It was the back page of some of the tabloids, say, over the Man United result, which is kind of sad, but I can kind of see where they're going. It was despicable carry on, really, to be fair.
From that he didn't at least tell the referee?
Yeah, whatever about the motivation of what he was doing, like, you can't, like, as well as that, it didn't even matter, the goal. So just say, like, I'm not taking this, sorry about that, ref. And then nobody cares.
And he'd win an award for it, like Robbie Fowler did back in
20 19. Years ago now, apparently.
Is it 20 years ago? Martial, very good again. He could become the seventh player to score in 5 or more successive Premier League matches for Man United. Can you name the others?
Say that again.
Probably Van Nistelrooy.
Van Nistelrooy is one. So just for Shane there, he could become the seventh player to score in 5 or more successive Premier League matches for United. Yeah, Rooney, Van Nistelrooy. Yeah.
I'm going to throw one at you. Lee Sharp?
No. Ridiculous.
Baby-faced the Norwegian himself?
No.
No.
Paul Scholes?
No. Am I going to put you out of your misery now?
McLare?
Steve? Brian McLare. Yeah. Chalky, wasn't it? Wasn't that his nickname?
He was in Eden Derry the other night doing a talk.
Was he?
Were you in? Believe it.
Did you go in?
No. You seen the poster outside, it was past.
That's a fair story you're after giving us there.
No, I couldn't believe it. Guy, that's what these guys
just
do.
Just random,
I couldn't believe it.
So the others were Dwight York, Ronaldo.
Cole. Andy Cole.
Sure. No.
No.
Mm. And Robin Van Persie. Yeah, so there you go. Call it, lads. What way is this going to go?
At the prices, I would...
Just to give you the odds, City 2-5, the draw 19-5, United are 13-2 now. Both teams to score, odds on for it to be yes at 7-10, no is 23-20. And I'll just give you another market here as well.
What's both teams to score?
23-20.
Both teams to score.
Sorry, but apologies. Both teams not to score is 23-20, both teams to score 7-10.
So just 7-10. I'd go so for the draw at 19-5 is the
draw
value.
19-5. That's my bet.
Half time, full time draw, Man City to win 16-5. Could see United, you know, shutting up shop and then eventually being broken down. Like they've just conceded too many goals. You know the way Mourinho is thought of this classic defensive manager, but you've only one clean sheet.
Defenders aren't actually that good. That's the problem. Like they're Smalling and Lindelof.
Having said that, Lindelof has come on a lot. He has in recent weeks.
They weren't bad last night defensively. Like and the goal was. It was a brilliant goal by Ronaldo.
Oh, it was a top class.
He must be mentally very strong, Lindelof, to come back from basically being dismissed by Mourinho to now being his mainstay. You'd have to
say. He played well enough, especially in the second half in the United Juve game at Old Trafford a couple of weeks back as well. So he has come on an awful lot.
You just have to mention the big moment from Ronaldo in the big game? I mean, just to see the flight of that ball, Johnny.
That's unbelievable technique.
It was incredible technique and finish and poise. Just amazing. In a big game again.
I said on the radio today, Ronaldo would struggle a bit to get into the Man City team and people laughed at me. Ronaldo is 34 in February. He's not a player that Pep Guardiola would have in his attacking line. He's what he is, but he's not. Like, Juve aren't as good as I think people... Like, they were described as the best team in Europe. Juve are not as good as Man City, in my view. But this game will be interesting in that regard. The Man City attack and the Man United defence, which is not as maligned as it was maybe, how is that going to match up and what will Pogba do?
But hold on, what do you mean Ronaldo can get in the City team? Surely he'd get in there ahead of Aguero or Jesus.
I agree. I'm not sure he would.
At 34 in February, because you have to have an unbelievable work rate. Like,
he doesn't really have
to do it though, because they don't have the high press game.
You're only as old as the woman you feel.
that doesn't really count in football terms.
I suppose it doesn't. I'll give you that. But for him
to be 34 in February, he's an absolute phenomenon to be doing what he's doing at that level. It's Glenn practically unheard of.
And he has 6 goals.
Different ball game though. In fairness.
Well, you give him chances, he's going to score. Yeah. And they do nothing but create chances with City.
Ronaldo against good defence now should be able to manage him at this stage of his life. He is a phenomenon for us. The technique for that goal. He didn't do an awful lot in the game. Like, the technique for that goal is out of this world.
I think it's an outrageous statement out of you.
Very briefly as well, on the first goal score market is one of several double odds matches in our Ladbrokes shops over the weekend. So do take advantage of that. Sergio Aguero, 3-1 favourite as it stands. Jesus, 16-5. Sterling is currently 9-2. Just looking down at some of the United players, big prices here. Martial 10-1, Lukaku 9-1, Rashford in there as well at 10-1, but we'll double it out if they score inside the first 20.
I think Liverpool against Fulham Sunday at 12 is another going to be an interesting game. Could end up being a pasting, but just to see how Liverpool react to the 2-0 win, or 2-0 defeat, I should say, away to Red Star Belgrade. And I saw an interesting stat from...
the great shot of Phil Thompson actually going around in social media.
Oh, he was sour, wasn't he?
Oh, very.
Yeah.
Very.
But do you remember the assistant that left Liverpool last year, Zeljko Buvac?
Mm.
So there was a stat saying with him in the Champions League that Liverpool had played 13, including qualifiers, scored 43, lost no games, average of 3.3 goals a game. Without him, they've played 6, scored 10, lost 4 goals per game, 1.3.
They've been very poor in the Champions League this year. I don't know what it is, and the results haven't been unfortunate. They were they were no good against Napoli. Obviously the PSG game, they maybe deserved to win, but they didn't deserve to win the other night either. As Klopp said, you know, when asked, "Could you put your finger on?" He said, "I only have 10 fingers."
Yeah.
You know, and
the only one he when Mane had the exception of him, he tried very hard, but. That was the most significant display that I've seen for a long time. I thought it was so poor. Their attitude, their effort by some of the players. Some of them didn't want to know. They genuinely didn't want to know.
And drew 1-1 with Arsenal last week.
A display like that wouldn't happen under Pep's watch. I don't believe to that. They wouldn't drop it the level so much under his watch. Klopp has had a few of those. I mean, if they're going to really win something, that display the other night was terrible.
The midfield was very poor.
Shocking.
Very poor.
But actually, it's an interesting point because they didn't take Shaqiri because of his Albanian Kosovan background and the fact that he scored against...
He could have been the guy to try to pass through.
Well, like, he's produced a goal and 4 assists in his last 6 despite only starting one of those games. So it's like 62% of his Liverpool's goals when he's been on the pitch have had to do with him.
Mm.
And the fact that they didn't have him during the week, but... Again, like to concede a goal from a corner like that, which is, did you notice how prevalent that was during the week in the Champions League? In the Spurs game, I think it was the Roma game as well, headers from corners early in the game. But
They're unbelievably short here. They're 10s on Liverpool for the win in 90 minutes. They draw 9-1, Fulham 22-1.
And rightly so.
But
poor against Huddersfield. I thought they were very poor against him.
But even like Klopp's record against promoted teams, he's won all 8, scoring 25 and conceding 3. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to make a case for Fulham, who've conceded 29 goals. Can anyone make a case for them?
Put your house in City to win the Premiership. It's as simple as that.
It's looking more likely than that.
No one's going to touch them.
That's the way you're going to tee up Liverpool against Fulham.
Yeah. I think Liverpool have a revival in them, but they'll win this comfortably.
I'm looking at the win here, Shane, just very briefly. They're just shy of 6-4 to win the game and both teams to score at least one. So if you think it possibly a 3-1 or a 4-1, if we're thinking it's going to be a bit of a blowout.
What about Tenil?
Tenil is 5-6. That's the one I was looking at. Chelsea-Fulham then. So both teams are actually in form here. Chelsea-Everton,
isn't it?
So what did I say?
Fulham.
Oh, sorry. Chelsea-Everton. My mistake. But Chelsea looking for a third league win in a row and Everton looking for a fifth win from 6. So anyone give Everton a chance of an away win here?
13-2 in the betting. Chelsea 2-5. The draw 18-5. Chelsea at home. I don't think we'll be looking elsewhere, will we?
Yeah. If Sarri avoids defeat here, he'll set a new record for the longest unbeaten Premier League start by a manager or head coach. So that will take him up to 12 matches and he'd overtake Frank Clark in 1994-95.
Frank Clark, remember him,
Middlesbrough?
Nottingham Forest.
He
replaced Cloughey, didn't he?
He actually did.
Yeah. That's how long ago we're talking about,
yeah. And Morata has 5 goals in his last 6 matches. Like, he seems to be putting an awful lot of it down to a back injury last year. And he was like, no one, only my wife knows how big the last year was. Now it's okay. In the last month of last season, I was down. I cannot be more down. When you touch the limit, the only thing you can do is to come back.
It was hard to watch him. He was in, like, it's one grand, he's a pampered millionaire, but at the same time, he's playing in front of millions of people on TV, and he was patently struggling week in, week out. So it's nice to see him actually back. I think Chelsea should be okay here. Still haven't lost a game.
He's 4-1 for the opening goal, by the way. Another double odds match this weekend. So do you take advantage? 4-1 Morata.
I see Richarlison is 9-1. Like, he's playing in centre forward. Since moving to centre forward.
Is he joined second top goal scorer in the Premier League on 6, if I'm not mistaken?
Can't be putting us on the spot like that.
I think he is. He's second or third in the charts at the moment, anyway.
All of his Premier League goals have come under Marco Silva. So
he was a good boy, wasn't he, from Watford? Like, you see, you can spot talent like that. I mean.
Mm-hmm. But like, when he was with Watford and Javi Gracia took over, he didn't actually score in 14 games under him. And that's why all the goals...
Colman scored last week, which is great to see, back to form.
Mm.
I didn't realise, and a couple of you guys might know, he seemed to be getting a lot of stick, or his form had dipped a bit, so there was a big thing made of that.
Colman?
Yeah.
Yeah, Colman is going to... He's surely going to struggle to be the player he was after that injury. Yeah, people are nearly afraid to say it. It's just like he's also getting on a bit, but that injury was so bad. And if his pace is gone, he's half the player he was.
When you get about it, it happened to me, actually... at once a serious stage of my career, I got a very serious injury. You're never quite the
What injury was that?
I got my whole knee severed in half. Every ligament was snapped and six pins holding my kneecap together. So I was in hospital for 2 weeks and
how did
6 day in operation. Happened down in Ockham in a club match, club semi final.
Someone falling you or twisting?
I stood on the ground and a guy came in and my whole knee just wrenched like a rolling pin. There was any skin holding me, hold that together, yeah.
Was it flopping?
Oh, everything was gone, yeah.
Oh my God.
I came back, I spent a year, and you're never quite, when you get a big, bad injury, to that extent, he got a horrific one.
Yeah.
I mean, Tommy Walsh, you're talking about, over in Australia, horrendous injury. He was never the same either, the same after.
So when that happened to you, how old were you?
I tell you exactly what it was 27, Shane.
Yeah. Right, so in your prime.
I was.
How painful was that? Oh, were you in shock?
Well, I arrived in the hospital, my wife got into the ambulance with me. I was married. I was one of those young lads. You got married young in those days. Yeah. You know, sense. That's the way it was. Mm. But when I arrived at the hospital in Loughlin's town, wherever it was, we're down in Balding Glass. My whole hands were full of my hair in my head. I'd pulled all the hair out of my head with pain.
And
it was actually horrific. So I had a serious, 14-hour operation, and I was lying in the bed, lying on my broad on my back for 11 days. Couldn't get out of bed.
And was there any talk that you mightn't walk again?
And I was finished. Like, that was it. But I built a gym at home, and it took me 9-10 months of every day, twice a day. And I got back and played with Mead and club.
Good minor stuff.
But I never, a bit of pace was gone.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely horrendous.
Yeah, it was horrendous. Now. But look at the draw, guys.
Yeah.
Look at you now.
Still a fine
fit. I know. I'm in bits. I had a hip replaced since. I'll get that knee replaced next year. So, do you know what? I'm alive and well.
Yeah.
That's it.
Any hair transplants or anything like that coming?
No, Jesus Christ, no.
But someone Wayne Rooney route.
Oh, no, I got stick the other night. There's this old picture come up of us. And you know, it's amazing the way you change over the years. But I try, unlike Johnny, I try to mind new body. I don't try to...
Getting some flack here today, like.
No. You still go Astro now and again?
Yeah.
How often do you play?
Twice a week, yeah. Bad on the knees as well.
Are you any good?
And what about the soccer? How many times you played the soccer?
Anyway, on this note, Chelsea should beat Everton, I think.
Chelsea in under 3.5 goals, 7-5.
Fair shout.
Yeah, I couldn't see it being hugely high scoring.
Yeah.
Going to touch on the NFL for a minute. Dallas.
Just actually, just before you briefly, Shane, just a couple of bets that I was looking at earlier on. Leicester, halftime, full-time against Burnley. It's a standout price there on the high street at the moment, 13-10. They're at home. We all know what's been going on, unfortunately, over recent weeks with the owner and whatnot. And they came out and won last weekend. Should have won more comfortably as well. Now, they have gone back. They went over to Bangkok for the funeral. They have been back. So it's hard to know how much that's going to take out of them. But at the prices, 13-10, I think Burnley they've lost their last three. They've conceded, I think, 13 goals during those games as well. They're in horrendous form. And Leicester halftime, full-time for me, 13-10 is the bet of the weekend for me on the football.
Burnley, they do drag out a result away from home and not him. They do something they're not meant to do.
Yeah. Mm. They're just conceding too many goals for my liking at the moment. 4-4 and 5 against City, 3 starts back. And just briefly as well, after again the first win of the season, I think Newcastle should be difficult to beat at home to Bournemouth. They're just shy 2-1. They're 9-5 at home to Bournemouth, coming off a loss against United last weekend.
Okay, so we'll switch over to a bit of NFL. Dallas Cowboys are against the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend. It's a big divisional game in the NFC East, which is why we're going to look at it. Dallas are kind of called America's team. So, you know, I mean, it's just the team that everyone kind of supports from coast to coast. But one of the guys playing for the Eagles, Jason Kelsey, said, "I would say mostly I just don't think that a lot of players, in particular me, just don't really like the franchise, the organization, what it stands for, what it always stood for." And apparently that references to back in 1987, there was a players' strike, and then Cowboys president Tex Schramm, of course he'd have a name like that, he was a huge opponent, staunch opponent to the players' strike as well. So there seems to be a little bit of needle in this. It's amazing that you'd actually talk that openly before a big clash, isn't it? Yeah. All right.
I think Le'Veon Bell is back this week as well.
Yeah, he's a class player.
But isn't there some serious contract negotiations still ongoing with that player in terms of he had to come back this week? Otherwise, he wouldn't have been paid a red cent this season. He wouldn't have been paid anything. Unless he came back this week.
And it's not as if like James Conner is a bad running back either, so just have great.
I watched every bit of the Rodgers and Brady. I watched every minute.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Pat's beating the
Green Bay Packers. Yeah.
The way the Americans made this matchup, it was just incredible. It was bigger than the presidential election and stuff like that. It was unbelievable stuff.
They really do build it up.
CJ, what do you call him? the bad Michael Jordan. See his whole, I didn't know what was going to be any start. I thought it was something else about his career, and it was the whole build up to the match. But do you know what I actually did? I recorded it, watched it Monday, and first time ever cut all the stuff out, only watched the game, and it was actually brilliant.
Yeah.
The game was brilliant.
That's the one thing I was actually talking to our producer Rachel before we came in, and it's one of the things that we can't get to grasp with in this country in terms of American sports is the TV commercials, especially with American football during a 2.5-3 hour game. It's just
it's hard going if you start a match that, you know, 20 past 1 at night, yeah, and you're like, oh, the
like
ads
you might
as well.
Make an exception to a championship game, say an AFC, NFC championship game or the Super Bowl, but in terms of a regular season game, it's incredibly difficult.
It's actually very suitable though for the modern person who's on his phone all the time, so they can just phone break. So it's grand actually, and it nearly will probably benefit
from
that.
In terms of a betting perspective, you're right, because the market it'll suspend during certain times of the match, but then it'll reopen more often than not during one of those TV ads, which is good.
The other thing is, like BBC and Sky, well, maybe not every game, but they try to just go back to the studio and do a bit of analysis in between.
That's
true. So that keeps us going.
Plus,
over
watch NFL Red Zone every
Love
Sunday.
Love the Red Zone.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Focus on the one game. Is that right, Bernard?
That's the way I'm gone now. I tell you, Brady, at 41 years of age, guys, you can say what you like.
The GOAT. He's the GOAT.
Pliability.
That's it.
Have you got a bet for the weekend?
Yeah, well, we'll go back to the Cowboys Eagles. So Dak Prescott is the quarterback for the Cowboys, for those who don't know. He absolutely stunk the joint out against Tennessee last week. They really should have beaten him, lost 28-14 at home. But their Cowboys defense is fairly poor as well. They should be bashing Mariota. If the Cowboys feed Ezekiel Elliott and Amari Cooper, who's their new wide receiver, they could win. But Eagles -7 is 20-23 here, so that's my lock of the week on that one.
Looking at treble here, the Bears, who are going pretty well this season, I think they're 5-3 top of their division as well. They are -7 against the Lions is 19-20. The Falcons -5 against the Browns, I think that should come in. And also the Jags against the Indy Colts, they're +2.5 in the handicap. The treble pays 6-1. That'll do for me. NFL front this week.
Okay, moving on to the race, and then we'll start on Saturday. The Elite Hurdle Grade 2, 3:00 at Wincanton, Shane.
Yeah, looking at not much really going on in the race in front this weekend, Shane, to be honest. It's the last day of the UK flat season. We had the last day of the Irish flat season last weekend, and the last day of the UK flat season concludes with the November handicap at Doncaster. I'm looking at the, as you mentioned, the Elite Hurdle, which gets underway at 3:00 Wincanton on Saturday over 2 miles. We have a dream who was quite flawless last year over hurdles, 5 from 5 since Johnny Nicky Henderson as well, has won on all types of ground. Currently 100-30 in the betting for the Elite Hurdle, 16s for the Champion Hurdle if you're looking further afield in Cheltenham in March. But makes its reappearance, and if fully tuned up, should go very close at the very least, I think.
Yeah, it'll be interesting if Radishan rocks up here. I know he was
disappointing the last
and he was day, very yeah. disappointed. He must have needed a run. He was so weak in the betting, and the jury is out a bit. I'm interested in your price for Sam Crow for the Champion Hurdle.
I will be back to you in 1 second about that.
I really keep like going. We Have a Dream last season, and imagine he was due to run at Cheltenham at the meeting, the most recent meeting, about 2 weeks ago. So he should be fit, and I don't really worry about him as a 4-year-old stepping into senior hurling, because he's Martelline bred. He's more of a jumps bred horse. I think he'll progress fine, and he actually could take a bit of beating here. I wouldn't put anyone off a bet on him.
Sam Crow 4-1.
Yeah, I would advise having a bet on Sam Crow to win the Champion Hurdle 4-1.
He's, do you think?
Yeah, he's.
Will he stay the hurling route?
I think he'll win on Sunday week, and then
the Morgiana.
Yeah, and even if he's touched off, I don't think they're going to desert at this stage. The vibe seemed to be that he did need the run down Royal. I was up there, I was very disappointed in him, but he was very weak in the betting, you'd have to say.
It wasn't
that unexpected the way the market is.
Does he look at an out and out Champion Hurdle type horse though? I think he jumps a bit too big.
I think he's a chaser, to be honest, but I don't think the Champion Hurdle is all that strong.
You've got currently, just at the market here in front of me, Bouverdere, last year's champion, is 3-1. As Johnny mentioned, Sam Crow 4-1. We go Lorena, much typed about mare, potentially in the same category as Annie Power.
I saw her at Willie Mullins is actually yesterday. She's a bit of a dude.
Five to one.
I'd much prefer Sam Crow at the price.
And then it's 8-1 by the front three. But
the November handicap, Shane was saying he's kind of saying goodbye to the flat or whatever, but the November handicap, it's still not a bad betting race. And I do like a horse here that Jim Crowley is riding for, Ian Williams. And even though the horse, Rashoon, it's drawn 18. This isn't the biggest negative in the world, as long as the horse can tuck in, loves the course and trip, is well handicapped, round about 10, 12 to 1. And you're getting your four places. I like that each way. And at Dundalk tomorrow night, I'm quite sweet on a very well named horse called Victorious Secret. Very well named. If you get the
have you been there?
Bag. Victorious. Victorious Secret.
Oh, Victorious, so, Victorious Secret. Apologies. Secret.
Will there ever be a Victor's Secret? I wonder.
Absolutely. The way the world is going. This horse probably will be about 10 to 1. It's running in the 6:30.
Just one more as well, Shane. The race that precedes the Elite Hurdle at Wincanton is the Rising Stars Novice Chase, Grade 2 Wincanton 225. Majestic Mull here for a very much banging form trainer, Eva Lavelle. She's 3 from 6 in the last couple of weeks, so she's made a good start to the campaign, has Emma Lavelle. This horse, 2 wins out of its last 3 starts, and a 7-1 hopefully should go well if you can forgive its penultimate run when clearly there was something amiss at Utoxeter, but came on and won last time out, and that'll do for me.
Yeah, that's about it for me for the race, and I think
it's fairly average stuff.
Yeah, it depends on what runs in. Nace looks a good card. I just at the time of us talking, I just don't know what's going to run.
Big weekend next weekend. We have the return of the November meeting at Cheltenham, so really kickstarts the National Hunt campaign next weekend.
We'll tip that up then. Just looking at the darts as well, Shane. The Grand Slam starts this weekend. You're big into it.
Waiting for this.
And you want to say Sulevich. I know you're going to say Sulevich because you love the sound of it on your tongue.
Absolutely not. I'm going to swerve Mensur, so I am, for this weekend. Yeah, the Grand Slam is one of the... I think it's the only tournament, if not one of a few, that's... has a combination of BDO players and PDC players. So basically, if you're not a fan of the darts, the PDC is a much higher standard than the BDO and has been for years.
BDO is the Junior B, isn't it?
Essentially, yeah.
No school!
Intermediate or further down the pecking order. But
why are they so brutal? Is it just obviously you're not as talented? Or
well, you see a lot of
these
players,
lads look after each themselves.
You see, the BDO came on a long time before the PDC was even formed. Mm. So since then, the influence of Barry Hearn since has meant, and of course Phil Taylor even helped to form the company back in the early 90s. And the players, there's been a lot more money on the PDC side things ahead of the BDO. A lot more tournaments, a lot more TV majors. The TV is a big thing with Sky, haven't shown in recent times. And a lot more players are making the switch basically because of the money, and there's a lot more money involved. There's a lot less ranking tournaments on the BDO front, and there's a lot less money. So hence the reason we've seen Raymond van Barneveld, 4-time BDO world champion, then crossed over to the PDC. So there's been a lot more players that have made the transition, and mainly because of the money.
And is the BDO sort of, if all the players are swapping over to the other side, is it eventually going to pack in?
Well, you see, there was a bid made a couple of years ago to basically buy out the BDO. Barry Hearn had offered them a substantial amount of money and they refused it. Why, I don't really know, because to be fair, they do have... I mean, Glenn Durrant is a pretty decent player. He's I think he's won the BDO World Championship now on a couple of occasions. He went close in this a few years back. Incidentally, only one BDO player has ever won this tournament since it was formed. That was Scott Waits back in 2010. So they do have talent. Just a lot of players make the transition. Now, having said that, you do get the odd couple of players that go back from the PDC to the BDO because they're basically finding it
too hard.
Too hard. Yeah, a lot of players have done that. Cole Stompy, Dutch darts player a few years back, has done it. Andy Hamilton was a top 16 player in the PDC up until recently. Kind of the wheels have come off his carriage in recent years. He's gone back to the BDO. So it can go both ways, but definitely in terms of the money and the major events, the PDC is the way to go.
Be interesting to know if what happens with your confidence. You're talking about Andy Hamilton there and his form fell off a cliff. I read a piece with Stephen Hendry recently that you know how dominant he was back in the day winning world championships. And then he said he got to a stage where his confidence was just absolutely ruined and he could barely make a shot at all. And he talked about how he used to accelerate through the ball with the strike, and then after a while he was almost cushioning into it. Now I'm paraphrasing there, but I wonder, is it the same in darts? You used to throw it hard and fluently, and then after a while you're sort of almost...
Oh yeah, I mean, your technique just goes to tatters. I mean, we've seen it unfortunately recently with the dartitis coming out for one of the players whose name escapes me. I think he's a Belgian player. in one of the tournaments there over the summer when it literally live on stage in front of millions of people and you cannot throw the dart.
Yeah,
it gets that bad. Eric Bristow, it happened to him as well. He suffered from it badly towards the latter stages of his career. But yeah, technique is everything, as you mentioned, in snooker as well. I think Stephen Hendry changed his cue in the latter stages of his career. He went to a maple cue from an ash cue. So it can happen. Those types of sports where technique is everything, yeah.
And golf as well would be another one. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no place to hide. Like, if you miss cue in snooker, it's going to go a tiny bit away and you're going to miss the shot.
It's still on the golf, table. Whereas yes. In golf, it can be off the course.
Yeah, into the car park, would yeah. you? Very, very punishing those kind of those skill sports where you're just on your own and mentally, everyone's yeah. looking at you.
Mentally, it's more upstairs about downstairs in a lot of those sports, especially darts and snooker. Yeah.
Michael Van Gerwen to win this?
I don't. Very, very short. 10-11 currently in the betting. Michael Smith, who's a big enough price, he went close against James Wade in one of the World Series of Darts events just last weekend. He should have won the game. Now, the one negative here would be he came out on Twitter afterwards and said basically that his whole world was collapsing. You know, that's kind of not the thing you want to tell everybody. He basically went on Twitter and said, I just can't get over this. You know, it's just brutally hard to accept what went on tonight. He had a couple of match darts to win his first TV major and they went west. So that's, you know, something that, you know, maybe keep that inside.
What's the advantage of keeping it? Is it cathartic to let it out there?
Well, that explicitly, I mean, it got a lot of traction on social media as well for some darts fans that were looking at the final against James Wade. He really should have won it. He had plenty of opportunities towards in the last leg. It was won eventually by James Wade, 11 legs to 10. But I don't know, something maybe that you might talk to friends and family about, but certainly in terms of letting it all out on social media.
Don't keep it inside, that's all I'm saying, Shane.
Oh, yeah, well, absolutely, yeah. to a point where you don't need to, you know, go full bore on the social media aspect of it. But yeah, I think he's a big price just on this tournament this weekend. 20-1, he got to the final of the Premier League in London back before the summer there. Was unlucky as well against MVG, wasn't disgraced at all. And I think it's only a matter of time before he does win his maiden major TV title. And at 20-1, he's a massive price.
All right, we'll move on to the GAA. There's plenty of club action on this weekend. Actually, Bernard, I want to get your thoughts on what happened the weekend just gone. Ballygunner beat Ballyea after four periods of extra time, so two tens still didn't separate them, two fives. Do you think the players should have to play that? Like next week, this weekend coming is free. They could have had a replay this weekend. Do you think it was fair on the players, or are you just like, it's best to finish it off?
I thought myself at the time, looking at it, when they went into the second stint of extra time, I thought that was unfair. You know, I thought, shake hands, a free weekend this weekend. You'd see it's predominantly, it's football this weekend.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And
the Ulster hurling finals on.
I know, I respect that. But it definitely could have played. It was, I thought both teams deserved another crack at it. It was enthralling. It was incredible. To play hurling, Shane, you're a hurler. In those conditions, on surfaces like that, for 60 minutes, it's about 66, 68 minutes for the extra time. Then to go another 10, it was 100 minutes with the extra time and the third section of extra time. I thought it was incredible. I thought some of the skill sets, you know, Tony Kelly, man, some of the guys and what they did, they were out on their feet. They were getting cramps. I thought it was great TV. I just, with the weekend free, after the first 10 minutes of extra time, it should have been a replay.
And I had tipped up Ballygunner. I might have lost people a bit of money there.
The 70-minute market.
I just wasn't sure that Ballyea could do it after losing so many players since the All-Ireland Club Final.
Six or seven.
Incredible. Something like that. Ballyboden went extra time against Clonkill as well. Like, really brave from Clonkill. They obviously, there was a tragedy. A three-year-old girl, Annabelle, was lost over the weekend. It's tragic. The fact that their team went out and just did them such credit on Tuesday night, it was a bit of a thriller with Ballyboden, who just squeezed through an extra time as well. So,
oh, listen, what happened? I mean, I'd know, sort of, I've met Enda and Kevin O'Brien, the Clonkill manager, I'd know him very well. And to see it what they had to go through, and to play on Wednesday night, I think it was the day of the funeral, etc. But, and Kevin spoke brilliantly after it. And to think what they actually done, they brought them to extra time. They nearly beat them in normal time. Yeah. Like a Westmeath club team. But I was in Mullingar last Friday with a good friend of mine who's doing a little bit of work for me, and he got the call when, you know, the incident happened. And just to see a community out there and a family, and they played at all levels. and what it has ripped them apart, if you like. But the hurling and the way they conducted themselves and the performance the players put in, and Luke Loughlin especially, related to Enda closely. Mm. It was just amazing. I think overall, at the end of the day, I thought Ballyboden, the management, the players were incredible. The way they conducted themselves and the respect that was on that field at the end of the match as well was brilliant. So listen, it's not nice, it's dreadful, and it's the months and years to come that the family would have to go through the main things. But I mean the way the supporters get out in front of them, just I thought it was brilliant. Kevin O'Brien, I thought, conducted himself brilliantly,
and Joe Fortune and the Ballyboden players giving the guard of honour on the way off was very nice.
Incredible.
It seems a little bit shallow to actually go and talk about games that are happening this weekend, but I suppose we're going to have to. One of the club matches this weekend that I'd be quite interested in, a Connacht semi-final, Clonagale of Roscommon against Cora Finn. Cora Finn are a very short price here, but Clonagale have a bit of quality here. Likes of Donny Shine as well. He retired, I suppose, from Intercounty a couple of years ago. I spoke with him, and not necessarily seeing why you would commit that much time when your chances of winning, a bit like Paddy O'Rourke earlier in the year, is it really worth the amount of time that you have to put into it? So, but anyway, to the point of this game, do you give Clonagale any chance?
You would think so. Yeah, at times, with exception of Bridges, teams coming out of Roscommon and probably don't do that quite that well. They have some talent. Ulton Harney, they have some very good footballers there. If it's the belief thing, Cora Finn wobbled the first day, they scored 7 points, should have been beaten.
I think it'll stand to them though, that they won by 6 points the last day, and just like the extra game points,
three red cards in that game, wasn't it? Two for Mount Bellew, Mount Lock, and one for Cora Finn.
Yeah, I mean, just look, there was four up in Ulster as well, across and Cole Island, it was for 13 apiece. I would say on the football end of a chain, a big bearing on a lot of the matches, the standard of refereeing. In close, tight games, the provincial series takes a whole life its own. You have neighbouring counties and neighbouring parishes and playing against each other, and it's a lot of rivalry. And I think it's brilliant, the provincial series in hurling and football. I think it's super. But the likes of this weekend, Cora Finn to me could open up the shoulders this weekend. They could really start to express themselves. The way, they had to play against the system in the two games in the Galway final, and by all accounts it was actually pretty horrific, and that's the way they set up against them. I think it'll be different. Roscommon won't, the club in Tanna game won't play like that. They do play quite offensive, they're attacking team. I think Cora Finn will be too physically strong for them, and watch this team. I think they're going to start peaking for February and March. And we just go back to the performance they gave last year. The greatest club performance
against Nemo in the final
I've ever seen on a football field in my club. And this is the same bunch of players, so they're not gone anywhere. And I'd be a little bit worried for Clonagale on Sunday.
Can I ask you a question about the Clonagale team that, when you were probably in your prime, Donny Shine Senior, God rest him, he was over the team, and they got to 5 All-Ireland finals, I think 82, and then it was like 87 to 90, and they lost every All-Ireland final. Were they the unluckiest? Like, it was Mayo-esque. Were they the unluckiest club team of all time? Or do you make your own luck?
I remember chatting, Tony McManus, I'd know quite well. I was on a few golf trips and stuff like that, and chatting to them. And it's the equivalent in club to the county Mayo in the county scene. It's the exact sort of equivalent. Mm. And I think it's belief and just not being able to know how to win, really. They had incredible footballers going back. I remember at the time as a young lad, it was just incredible stuff. I mean, they should have won a couple. They were an amazing, amazing side. This side isn't anything as good as that. There's no question. I don't think they are.
No.
But I think belief is a big thing for us common people, particularly in the GA circle. I don't think they're the same belief as Mayo. I honestly don't believe that. And I think if they give too much respect to Cora Finn on Sunday, they could be turned over and a number could be done on them. So they do know they're a tight bunch. I mean, they played very, very well in Roscommon. I'd like to see them getting a good start, I really would, and going for a little bit more. If Cora Finn get ahead of them too early on, and these guys start to express themselves, all over the field they have power, pace and skill. And I think they're just coming right, Cora Finn. I think they'll win by 6 or 8 points.
Lundy, Sice, Ian Burke, Dahi Burke.
Where do you start? I mean, that's every one of them, they're underage. They've gone 6 in a row, but the underage, this is the nearest thing in club scene that you will see to a county setup. Yeah. And they're better. The whole setup they have is better than a lot of county setups. That good?
Clonagale stuttered past Tyrconnell Gales, but they had to come from behind. But they're the London champions. But they're managed by Paul Coggins, who was the London manager. So would you say, just because they're a London team, people are disrespecting, probably just assuming that a team from the island here is going to beat them. So would you kind of give them credit for beating Tyrconnell, or would you be like, you need to be beating them by more?
Well, I know Fulham Irish. I was at Dover in the dinner dance last year. Greg McCartan is the manager, and they beat them by a point last year, and they turned them over. They won by 2 points this year, 15-13. They have a serious side, very well run. I mean, it was 1-15 to 1-10 if I recall the match.
Yeah,
they ran them very close. There was only 5 points in it. Some brilliant footballers. They were a serious outfit. Clanagail got a really wake-up call. Didn't start well. They were caught in the headlights early on. And now the London teams, the effort they're putting in, because I was over there,
yeah,
and the training and all, there's big effort being put into club teams like that, and it's great. And a lot of players are going over there finding work, ex-county players or future county players, and they have a serious squad. So they were a good side, as Fulham Irish. Now, about 5-6 points was a fair reflection on it, but I just don't think, I can't see Clanagail how they're going to beat Carrifin at all.
Yeah, 5-1, 10-1 the draw. 6-1 on for Carrifin.
Yeah, a couple of other interesting matches, isn't there, this weekend? You've got Moorfield against Portlaoise.
I think this could be a cracking match. I
mean, Moorfield are the reigning Leinster champions.
5-6 about Moorfield, 11 away Portlaoise, 11-2 the draw.
There's a bit of money going on Portlaoise in this one up in Newbridge. I watched Moorfield play Mullingar Shamrocks. Yeah, good side. Tyrrell full forward. Outside of him, I thought the forwards weren't great. A lot of Leash people and Portlaoise believe they can actually beat them this weekend.
Are they as good as they were? You know, when they were winning like 9 Leash in a row, and that's not too long ago. But are they over there?
I think they're over a little bit, but I think Moorfield aren't as good.
Left it behind them in 2016 as well. Remember, they should have beaten Ballyboden, or probably should have beaten them. They should have went on to win the All-Ireland.
That's right. I mean, Portlaoise have been a great side, but just maybe the marquee forward, a little bit of belief again overall, but a couple of key players are actually a little bit over the top. Some good young players are brought in. I think they have a great chance here. I really do. But Moorfield and Newbridge is a different, you know, Ronan Sweeney there. They started him against, I thought it was wrong, they started him against Mullingar Shamrocks, and Mullingar took him off. I'd be bringing him on. Last year, when you see Lohman 6 points up, going into the Leinster final, they did, it was sort of a smash and grab. It was brilliant. They actually ran, I think it was Kilmacud, to 5 points. If you look at down below, I think overall this will be tight, and the bookies have this one right. Do not be surprised if Portlaoise turn them over. 11-8. Good bet.
Yeah,
I'd have to say Dr. Crokes against St. Finbarr's has to be a tasty enough one. Like, it's the Barr's first foray into Munster since 1991, and they also played Crokes back then. So it was
9-2 for the win here. Crokes fives on.
I'm giving you a history lesson. But like, that game back in 91 was tied 2-7 to 1-10 when Danny Cooper kicked the winning point in the last play of the game. He's the older brother of the Gooch Cooper.
Yeah, but if you look at the outpouring, hold up. If you look at the outpouring, I seen it everywhere on the papers and social media, what it meant to the Barrs down there to win that. And what it's very hard, Shane, I think, and you've been through it, to get back up when you have an incredible achievement like that, an historic breaking moment, to actually get back up the level. People, the Crokes or Carrifin, put your money on either one to win the All-Ireland. Crokes, young brigade, and particularly front, I'm telling you, they have a serious side. I'd love to see Crokes at full throttle and Carrifin. The Barrs, I think, won't get within 6 points of them.
They won't get winning an asses roar.
I don't think so.
No. Gooch is on the bench, 35. Is there any particular reason that you're aware of he's on the bench?
I think it's the right decision. Talking to a couple of people, Dara Shane, the boys down there, you know, he is the Gooch, the greatest, one of the greatest in my opinion. He has lost a yard. He's very good to bring on when they need him. But the younger players, particularly up front, I mean, some of the young minors and that there, they're unbelievable. These guys in Croke Park could actually be better than last year. I really mean that.
I think so.
I think they're only coming. And I think they could give the Barrs a bit of a lesson. I really do. What's the bet on that one?
Just briefly as well, Bernard, you mentioned the outrights on the club football championship. Carrifin 13-8, Dr. Crokes 11-4, 5-1 about Kilmacud Crokes, 8-1 Scotstown, and 11-1 Barr the rest.
Crokes are very strong, but they're possibly a bit too reliant on Mannion. And if you can find, and by God, you'd want to find some man to stop him, but if you could somehow limit him, do you see Crokes coming up short? Kilmacud Crokes, that is, then.
Yeah, they're playing the Meath champions at the weekend. Dunboyne. Mannion tweaked his hamstring, I mean, after 15, 16
minutes. That's unbelievable.
I couldn't believe it, Johnny.
Unbelievable for what he did after that.
But I watched. This is where he's gone to a new level himself. Apart from being 6'3" and a beast, and he's put a stone half muscle on the last few years. The way he actually conserved his energy and his movement, and even the goal that the way he left the fullback for dead. But his 1-6 from play, I think he'd only 7 shots, was extraordinary. Outside of him, I thought it was a terrible final. I thought last year's final was even worse. I think it was 1-8 to 8 points, the Dublin finals, outside of Mannion. And the lack of quality in that final, I know he was different gravy, but he was immense. His four scores in the first half were brilliant. If Dunboyne can do something to nullify him, a big pitch won't suit Dunboyne either. And they've done well. They have some good squad. They've no world beaters. If they can hold him and his leg, I'd wonder about his leg. And that hamstring has bothered him in the past before. And I think Jim Gavin and Mannion for the year ahead, if that goes again and Jack McCarthy's had Keane O'Sullivan, a few injuries there, I'd be worried about his injury and his hamstring. I really would, from a Dublin perspective, more than anything else. Crokes will have too much, I believe, for Dunboyne, 5-6 points.
Isn't it incredible that Meath haven't had a Leinster club champion since Dunshaughlin in 02?
That's incredible.
Yeah. That's absolutely shocking. And before that, it was 1983 Walterstown.
And you look at senior level, it's all reflect. Can I honestly say this? I've been down at matches last year and this year, in the last 3 years, when Colin Morocco won the two in a row at Simonstown. I went to a lot of the games and watched them. The standard is poor than people realise. The standard of refereeing is shocking. And the lack of talent. The day of the final with Summerhill and Dunboyne, I went down and was doing commentary for it. I was shocked at the lack of quality. And that is not knocking. I'd love to pick out three or four future stars, Geraghty, Giles, Faye, fellas like that. I didn't see them. They're not there. And people don't realise it. One massive thing that's happened to us this year, Colm Nally's been brought in as football coach to coach the team. I think we've been lacking big time in that. I think he's one of the best coaches in the country. Brilliant guy. Great move by Andy McIndy. Is it going to be enough to close the gap? No. And what I've seen, we're 4 or 5 years away from competing.
And just to bring it back to Crokes against Finbar, Dr. Crokes, that is, they beat Moyle Rovers well in the last round. They've never lost a Munster Club Championship game at home in Lewis Road. I wonder though, the only downside for them is it's their third game in the space of 14 days, whereas Bears have had a fortnight break since the Cork final, and it's the only game they've played since the 7th of October. This time of the year, does it matter? Or like, I would have found from previous club championships that playing a game a week, you just tip away during the week, freshen up a little bit. It's actually nice to have a run of games. So
I think so. I
possibly
agree
an advantage for Crokes.
I think it's a massive advantage for Crokes. I think the game time they got into their full squad, the 21, 22, 23 that they have there, their bench has been brilliant. I think they're very well managed. They're well coached. The football they play is superb to watch. And the Bars, now, okay, it's Cork, so anything can happen. You've went back to the old days, and you know, when they were able to compete, I think they're actually not on the same planet as regards the standard of these two clubs. I really do. And I watched, if you look at Nemo, the way they've dipped and fallen away a little bit, compared to, let's say, this year, they were disappointing. And I just think Crokes have far too many, particularly up front, and if Johnny Buckley and the boys at midfield, the defence, Gavin White,
up front,
Kieran O'Leary, but Gavin White has been immense in defence. I think he's been brilliant. And if you look at throughout, these guys are grown, they're young, and I think outside of Cara Finn, if they dip, the Crokes could be around for the next 3 or 4 years. Absolutely.
I couldn't see them getting close to Cara Finn.
They're the only team that will in Croke Park.
An interesting sideshow of the Bears visiting Crokes is that the manager of the Bears is Ray Keane, who is brother of Peter Keane, who is the new manager of Kerry. There you go. Any other Gaelic football you want to touch on?
Just a brief mention for my own club as well. Errol and Carlo, they're up against Newtown Blues. They're 7-4 for the win. Newtown Blues are 8-13. That's at 1:30 on Sunday as well. So best of luck to Errol and the lads there.
I think a great game is going to be, my outside tip for the Leinster this year was Mullan Yachta.
Yeah,
they were very unlucky last year. A great game. They're playing Road, who are in great form. Niall McNamee's back to the form of his life, and I think somehow John Mon has to get him back into that squad some way.
Could happen,
Johnny. I think it's going to be a brilliant game, and Mullan Yachta get over that one. Road is not an easy place. It won't be easy down in O'Connor Park.
Very, very tight in the betting as well.
Road, is it tight?
Yeah, 5-6 about Road, a shed of odds on, and Mullan Yachta 11-8.
Well, I tell you, Mullan Yachta get out of that one there, I think there could be now a bet for the Leinster club. Great little club down there, parish split in half of two teams, Howie Villara and themselves. So I mean, they play together, it's just incredible. But Road are a team I'd love to see win in a Leinster. I really would. They become so close, just can't get over the line. I mean, this is an extraordinary little club in a little pocket of Offaly, and there's only so many families living in the whole parish, and there's so many senior All-Irelands. The football is everything about the little parish, and the McNamees, and you know, Anton Sullivan and the boys in the Derbies. I think if they get over it, they could have a real chance as well.
You mentioned Mullan Yachta 8-1 for Leinster. 8-1,
each way.
Great bet.
Each way, the first two as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the rugby. We've been waiting to put rugby at the end of the show because we wanted the team to be announced, not because I want to have a pop at rugby.
Yeah, no, come on now, tell the truth.
So, Ireland hosting Argentina a week on after smashing Italy in a match that no one cared about because we sent out a bogey team and so did they. No matter what team Italy put out, it's going to be a bogey team, let's be honest. So, Saturday at 6:30, just to call out the team for those who haven't seen it. So, it's Keane Healy, Rory Best, Tyke Furlong, Ian Henderson, James Ryan, Peter O'Mahony, Sean O'Brien, Stander, that's the forward line. In the back line, Kieran Marmion, Jonathan Sexton, Jacob Stockdale, Bundy Aki, Rob Henshaw, Keith Earls, Jordan Larmer. So pretty strong team and well fancied, aren't they, Shane?
1-12 currently, Shane, and the match betting the draws at 40-1, Argentina 15-2, and on the handicap it's at 17, so Ireland minus 17 at 10-11.
Why are Argentina such outsiders? They always beat us in the World Cup.
They do well against us.
Yeah, when it matters.
Yeah. I don't know. I suppose they're 15-2.
I have to say I'm shocked Johnny Sexton starting this game with the All Blacks coming. I'm shocked he's starting it.
And yeah, but this then again, is it about sharpness for him?
Maybe so. Yeah, I think O'Brien is starting. Sean, I think he could start him against the All Blacks. I think that's what they aim it at. I can't understand the betting at all, Shane. I'm missing something. I watched all the matches between.
Do you think Argentina should be a bit shorter?
I thought they were exceptional in 3 or 4 of the games I watched against South Africa, Australia, and New Zealand. I don't understand it. I think they're actually playing a much more open, expansive game. They've wingers that can run from deep. And I just think the bet of the weekend I'm going to give now, for me, is a bit like I said, load into the handicap with Ireland and Italy last week. I say load into the Argentina 17-point handicap. Get on. They will be inside it. Get as much as you can on it.
No Conor Murray, though. So Marmion.
Yeah.
Surely that means, like, if Ireland won 28-19 last year, can it be that much of a change over 12 months, especially that Ireland are missing arguably their best, second best, third best player?
Well, wasn't Murray voted? Didn't he get the vote during the week? Mm. Player of the season? Mm. World player of the year?
But just even in terms of the overall sense over the last 5 or 6 years or whatever, he's in it. We know he's in our top few players, and if we don't have him and we beat them 28-19 last year, why is it now out to 17 points?
I've actually no idea, to be honest. I fully concur with Bernard on the betting front. I think the traders have got it wrong. 1-12 about Ireland. I know they're at home. I know we've done well against Argentina now and again, with the exception of the World Cup. But they're a very, very short betting proposition for me.
A rugby judge rarely texts me who said this spread. Like the usual caveat supply said, but yeah. I'm confident they're not going to beat them by this amount. Mm. So I'm going to go with that as well.
There's one guy that I've watched all the games. Sanchez at out half for Argentina. This guy is the most underrated player, I'd say, in the world, and certainly out half. Watch him. He actually could cause a lot of problems. I think this could be a lot closer than people think.
Nicolas Sanchez, yeah.
Just looking up who he is there, Shane.
Yeah, well, it is rugby after all.
just to mention as well, we're double odds in this match, so if your first try scorer gets a second at any stage of the rest of the game, we're double odds there. So bear that in mind. One of three double odds matches on the rugby this weekend.
It might be a bit early for try scorers and the odds on them.
Yeah, so the team is just announced, so hopefully they'll be up now in the next
Jordan Larmer got a hat trick last week, so Keith Earls is playing some great stuff.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Isn't it just on that point with Larmer, it's the one sport that I actually can't get my head around. This guy is a phenomenon. I mean, I just think he's incredible. Yet they go and they pick every little weakness out of him to make an excuse why he shouldn't start.
Yeah.
It's incredible stuff, the way they look at the rugby, their players, differently than in a lot of other sports.
Just his feet are incredible. Oh. He played hockey as well, didn't he, as well?
Yeah. Multi-talented.
Touch of class, to be fair to him. So that's the rugby. Lads, bets of the week?
Bets of the week. Going to start off with the football. I mentioned one of my best football bet of the weekend is definitely Leicester halftime, full time against an out of sorts Burnley in recent times. It's 13-10. I am going to put up that NFL treble as well, which is the Jags at +3 now. It's actually the handicap has gone out a small bit in the last few minutes. So +3 about the Jags, Atlanta -5 against the Browns, and the Bears -7 against Detroit. Pays in and around 6-1. And finally, just finally in the racing front as well, I mentioned the Elite Hurdle and the Rising Stars Novice Chase. Both those races at Wincanton on Saturday. And in the Elite Hurdle, we have a dream on 130 and a 7-1 shot then in the Rising Stars Novice Chase. Majestic Mall for banging form, Emma Lavelle.
Yeah, listen, I had a good week last week. I'm just going to try and stick to try and make money for some of our listeners.
It worked last weekend, anyway.
It did. I think Man United, Man City, purely because Mourinho will, whatever about winning, he will not want to lose this game. I think it's massive that United don't lose. I think 19-5 to draw is a big one. And I just think going to load in, like last week in the rugby, to the handicap of 17 points, Argentina, and my honest opinion
look off,
will be
it?
within that. I get on it straight away. Just an outside bet, and I don't do too many of them, but I want to, I just think the match with United and City, with Ladbrokes and Shane doubling his odds kindly, Martial at 20-1 for the first goal. Listen, it's worth a tenner. 20-1. That's with 10-1 doubling odds.
First 20 minutes, yeah.
Looking I think for five games an outside in a row
one. So two good ones and one outside one. They're
I
mine.
Think there was a stat recently, your man for stats.
I like
wasn't
stat.
He, I think in the last five seasons at the club, he's United's top goal scorer.
Is he actually?
I think he is, yeah. There was a stat released there a few weeks back. He is the top. Now it's a 1-4, 1-5 ratio that he has. But it just goes to show how we've been lacking for a goal scorer for so many years. Mm. And that includes the season that Ibrahimovic had at the club too. So, I mean, he kind of, at the start of his United career, you know, he scored on his debut against Liverpool at home, and that was great and all. But it kind of went left field for a bit. And the last couple of months, he's got his act together, something serious. Of course, he was left out of the France squad in the World Cup too, so that wouldn't have done his confidence any good. So he'd something to prove, and he's proven it currently.
Looks a top player. Johnny?
Top player. Reshoon in the November handicap, the final meeting of the year in the English last season.
Said 12-1.
Yeah, 12-1. I think that could be top price on the high street. Victoria's Secret, not Victoria's Secret. Victoria's Secret shall be victorious at Dundalk. And I'm spoofing a bit here, but I'm going to relay the confidence on the Argies to beat the handicap.
I think we all are.
Yeah,
we're all going in heavy.
We're all
on that.
Stuck in that. If
there'll be a big roar in the pub as Argentina get a late try, and the four of us,
four of us in the corner.
We'll definitely join you in the fags then, Johnny.
Draw Man City against United 16-5. Liverpool to win 2-0 against Fulham 5-6. Philadelphia Eagles to beat Dallas Cowboys -7 20-23.
Is that a home game for Philly?
Nobody knows.
No.
I don't
I
know
think
actually.
Back though, anyway.
They're after coming off a bye week as well, so yeah. They'll be well rested. And the Cowboys were only playing Monday night, so they've had quite a short break as well. And then I'd say Cara Finn and Dr. Croaks in a double probably won't pay out massively, but there's a little something there as well. Let's have what you'd all said.
We do.
Right,
have a great weekend, boys.
Yeah,
Shane, get some sleep.
I will. I'm heading off on a cooler weekend to Portugal.
Oh, with
so
the cooler boys.
I'll be in worse shape next week.
Oh my god, yeah.
I'll be carrying him in the stretcher next week.
He will, yeah. So don't forget to follow us on iTunes and Spotify. We'll see you again next week.
The Back Page, brought to you by Mirror Sport and backed by Ladbrokes.